I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast, powered by KSL Sports. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here. That's a lot of J's right there. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here on the Jazz Notes podcast. And what else can we say, Jeremiah? Utah Jazz basketball is back.
It's back!
Thank heavens. I just had to use that. I don't know if that's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or not, but hey, whatever.
It fits. I like it. It's here.
Yeah, the Jazz are back. The old media day today. And, you're probably going to be listening to this on Tuesday, so it'll be media day yesterday.
Yes.
But we're here to talk about some of the things that we took away from the best parts of media day. And in reality, Jeremiah, let's admit it. The best part of media day was when Donovan Mitchell, you were sitting right there back. Uh-huh. He comes in and he's going to ask Joe Ingles and Mike Conley a question, and this is how it went.
Mike, I'll ask you first. What do we call Bojan and Joe?
Oh my gosh!
What do we call that? What do we call the duo there?
Like a nickname?
Yeah,
like the Bojo Show.
You've been thinking about that.
I just thought of it.
There's no way you just thought about that.
I swear.
Okay, so what we need to get the bottom of, Jeremiah, did they set this up? Come on, it's going to be the starting point, the starting shooting guard. You got Joe Ingles. He's a jokester, too. Did they set Joe up?
Possible. wouldn't surprise me at all, which was great because it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Whether it was a setup or whether it was spontaneous doesn't really matter, because what I love about this team, and this will kind of go into my first point about this team, is I think that the chemistry is already great. Like, there's just good guys, and they enjoy being around each other, and you're just starting. Mike Conley is just brand new. I mean, they haven't had a practice with him yet, and it already feels like they've been teammates for a while, and that's great. And I think that while it's not everything, it really isn't. There's teams that don't get along that can win championships. Look what Shaq and Kobe did.
Exactly.
And you know, Harden and Chris Paul obviously didn't get along very well, and they darn near won a championship. So that doesn't equal success, but it's part of success, and it can go a long way towards success. And as we watch this team develop, and they come together as a team and try to figure all these things out on the court, at least you know they've got it figured out off the court, and this is going to be a group that's going to have a lot of fun together. They respect one another, and they want to go out there and have fun and compete and play hard, and they're going to play for each other, which is, you know, it's part of the process of being great, and it'll go a long way to helping them get where they want to go.
Whether it was a setup or not, I'm just having fun with that. But what I really want to get at is that you have two of your guys there, two of your already mainstays, and they are probably two of the best teammates that you could have on a team. And what I mean by Donovan Mitchell is he's that young, energetic guy that you love having on a team, and then you've got Joe Ingles. And he's always giving guys a hard time. That's at least what we hear on the air. I would probably say that he's one of the best teammates because I think he wants to make everyone better.
Absolutely.
And so them cracking on Joe, that's just fine because I think those three guys right there, including Mike Conley, I think that's your triumvirate right there of making a great team. And I should include Rudy, too.
Sure.
What I'm trying to say is that I think all four of those guys, they are good teammates. They want to involve everyone. They're good to everyone. Joe's in there to give you a hard time, but it's like your older brother or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but it's like having an older brother who's going to give you a hard time, but don't say anything about, you know, he's going to be that guy. Don't say anything about Donovan. I can say something about Donovan, but don't say anything about Donovan because I've got his
back.
When
the other team comes at him, there's no way you're going to let that happen.
It just feels comfortable. This team already feels comfortable, mm-hmm. and they just got together. At least those three guys, three to four guys, if you include Rudy, they're going to make it feel comfortable for all the rest of the other guys on the team.
Yeah, even guys like Jeff Green and Ed Davis, who already have a relationship with Mike Conley from their days in Memphis, there's already that feel, too. So there's just a lot of elements here. And even you go down the bench, and I think Dante's comfortable with all these guys and Quinn. And Emmanuel Mudiay comes in, and we'll see what his role is in all of this. George Niang and Royce O'Neal are guys that start in the G League or Europe or wherever it might have been. And they've found a way to get where they are now, where they're earning roles on this team, especially Royce, who may be in some situation. It's possible he could be a starter on this team, but Royce has a major role on this team. So just all these guys have a feeling about them. It's just fun. And I think fun's very important. This is an entertainment business, and they're going to go out there and they're going to entertain us on a nightly basis whenever they're playing. And you need to have fun. And this group feels like fun, and that's a good start. However successful they are on the court, that's going to develop, but the fun part's going to be there.
And I think that moves into another point because you mentioned Dante Exum, and I want to bring that up. It was interesting hearing Dennis Lindsay come out and say, we're considering Dante a player. We're not going to say he's a point guard. We're not going to say he's a wing. We're just going to call him a player, and we're going to play wherever wherever we can get him to play. And then you had Dante come out, and they said, how do you feel about this? And instead of being that guy saying, well, I should only be a point guard, or I should only be this, he was like, whatever it takes for me to get on the floor, that's what I want to do. And I still got a lot to improve on. If I'm a wing, I still need to learn how to finish better at the basket and to handle the ball and to do all these things. I look at this team right now, and no one, at least on the surface as we go into this season, no one seems to have a personal agenda. Everyone's just like, we're here, we want to be here, we want to be teammates, and we want to win. And I think that's a positive thing going into that first preseason game, especially coming up this Saturday.
Well, it's a good thing, and this builds up to point I wanted to make, too, is because they're going to need this chemistry because they're going to have to sacrifice. Some of these guys coming in aren't going to take as many shots as they were before. There's just not enough to go around. There's just too much depth on this team. How much of a role does Jeff Green play? How much of a role does Ed Davis play? What does Dante do now? Where does he fit in all this? You bring him up. He can really be an X factor on this team, no pun intended, because we just don't know where he's at and where he is as a basketball player and where his health is. But they're really high on him and saying all these things. It sounds like he could be a big surprise this year if he stays healthy. So all these things are going to require that chemistry to be able to go through it and survive it. Bojan Bogdanović may not get as many shots this year as he did in Indiana. Mike Conley, what kind of role does he take on? I don't know. There's a lot of these things that are going to have to be worked out. And those are the kind of things that can fracture teams and be difficult to work out, but where you already have this kind of an attitude and a feel and a respect for Quinn Snyder, I think they're in a position where they can more easily navigate some of these potential issues as they try to figure out what their roles are as individual players.
I think I've said in previous podcasts, Jeremiah, that I think that Donovan Mitchell's still that guy that you're going to say at the end of the game, you're our young buck, you're our stud here, go out and get the winning basket for us. But I think in listening to even him today, when he talked about Mike Conley, one of the first things he said is, I can learn so much from him. Mm-hmm. I can learn how I can slow my game down. And that's so important when you're playing in such a fast-paced game. He's always at his own pace, and he seems to set the pace a lot of times, meaning Mike Conley. And Mike Conley, in turn, was very complimentary of Donovan, saying, you know what's going to be great about this is that there'll be times when I just want to let him take the game over. I look at this, and I just see a lot of guys who are not just wanting to win, but they are willing to sacrifice. They're willing to do different things. Real quickly, another soundbite. Conley talked about working out with Donovan this summer, and someone asked him about this, and he said, yeah, it was really cool to be able to work out with Donovan even before we came to training camp.
That was good to connect with Donovan in the summertime and get a couple of days of work in. It's my first time really being around him, so just being able to spend time and work on a game that we love and, kind of send a message that we're getting ready for the year was pretty cool.
And that's what they did it for. We're sending a message that we're already coalescing as a team.
Leadership.
Yeah, exactly. These guys are your two main leaders on this team. I don't know how much you want to go past that, but, I mean, you already see that this wants to be a team. There's not a lot of, I want to say, question marks about whose role. I mean, there are question marks about whose role is going to be what going down. But I think we kind of still delineate. Donovan's one of the guys. Mike Conley's going to be one of the guys. Your defensive presence is Rudy Gobert, and he can also do a lot of good things for you. I think there's already kind of some set things out there for you to say, this is going to be a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Leadership is something that comes up that you start to wonder about. And I think it's very possible that Donovan Mitchell is your best player and takes the most shots and is your leading scorer. But Mike Conley's the leader. Mike Conley's the guy they look to for leadership because of his experience, because of his position, and because of the respect that everybody has for him. I mean, I don't know if you noticed this, Cleon. It just feels like to me, like instantly with Mike Conley coming on board, and this feeling was today. I mean, he's the first player to be interviewed.
Yeah.
Everyone's pointing to him. Everyone's bringing up him. Ed Davis and Jeff Green come to Utah because of him. Emmanuel Mudiay comes to Utah because he wants to play on a playoff team and he wants to get better as a basketball player and he wants to learn from Mike Conley. It all kind of funnels to Mike Conley as the guy that's kind of bringing this all together. That's okay, I think. I think taking some of the pressure off of a 23-year-old Donovan Mitchell to feel like he's got to lead this team by himself is a good thing for Donovan, and I think it fits Mike Conley to be the leader of this team, a guy that all these guys can respect and follow. That doesn't mean that Donovan can't be who he is and who he wants to be and be the best player that he can be for this team. But it's pretty clear to me that Mike Conley is the leader, is going to be the leader as a veteran, as somebody who's done this for a very long time and somebody who commands respect. And that's perfectly fine.
And he was asked about that today. How are you going to fit in as a leader on this team? And he's like, well, we've already got leaders. We've got Donovan. We've got Rudy. We've got Joe. We've already got these leaders. And to me, I think if I remember this correctly, there was so much that was said today. But I think if I remember this correctly, he basically said, I'll come in and I'll lead in my own way. And it sounded like more of he's not going to be that guy that's going to scream at you.
No.
He's going to show by example. He may pull you aside and say, why don't you do this and this? He seems to be not the quiet leader per se, but the leader that's going to basically say, this is how I do it. This is how I think you should do it. Or maybe just follow my example. And I think that's how he's going to win his team over, is he's not going to have to talk a whole bunch. He's just going to go out there and do, and they're going to say, okay, we're on board.
I think that's what a leader is, right? A leader, essentially the best leaders, I should say. There's different ways to lead, but the best leadership is by example. And I think he's going to set that example and set that tone. And he's the kind of guy that they will follow. And so I think that's why it makes sense that he would be the leader. But I think that's the best thing for this team, to kind of have everyone view him as that leader. And I don't think that takes away from Rudy or Donovan or what anybody else. Even I'll throw Joe Ingles in there. I think Joe has a leadership quality about him and a toughness so that guys get behind and follow. I don't think it takes away from any of the guys, especially the guys that have been here for a while now, to say that Mike Conley can be that leader. I think that would be the best role for Mike Conley to have, especially as the point guard of this team.
And Conley was also asked, what's the ceiling for this team?
Yeah.
And he basically said, well, of course we're going to say we want to win an NBA championship, but this is how I'm going to translate it. But we're not going to be stupid about it. And then he kind of went on and said, we're not going to sit out in there and brag. And Donovan kind of followed up and kind of said the same thing. We just kind of want to go out there and we want to do what we get. We look good on paper right now, but we'll see how things go. Meanwhile, Bojan Bogdanović was asked about this team.
I'm really, really excited to be part of this team. This is probably the best team that I ever been part of. So I'm still long season in front of us, but we are all looking through playoffs, of course, and then.
I thought it was interesting him saying this is going to be I know he kind of put a caveat on there, but he basically said this is going to be the best team I've been on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, your Indiana team the past couple of seasons was actually not great, but pretty good. Victor Oladipo is a pretty good player. Domantas Sabonis, pretty good player. Yeah. You know, they've had a pretty good team, but just to him to automatically come out and say that this is the best team I've been on. And that kind of lay. I know that he signed because of the money. I'd sign if I was making $18 million a year, too. But I also would have to say he probably signed because he looked at this. He's like, huh, that's a pretty darn good team. Even though they're in the Western Conference, that's a good team. I think I want to go play for that team, even if I don't shoot as much as I did when I was in Indiana.
That's what he told me in Vegas. He told me that this. He's just the, it was really simple for him. He looked at the roster they brought in. And once they had the trade with Mike Conley, again, it comes back to Mike Conley, right?
Yeah.
And knowing who was already here and the respect he had for him and seeing a potential role here and the potential to win, it was a no-brainer for him. And obviously, the money certainly helped. The money was there. So the combination of those two things made it a no-brainer for him. That's why there was an agreement so quickly after free agency started for him to come here. He wants to win. I don't doubt that. 30 years old. He's been a pro for 15 years. He's been playing pro basketball since he was 15. And he still wants to get better. He still thinks he has a lot to show. He thinks he could be really good in pick and roll. And he feels like he proved that last year when Victor Oladipo went out. And this is a Jazz team where he's going to have an opportunity to do a lot of that. And the team plays so well with the pass and ball movement and defense. It starts there. There's some things, obviously, he's going to have to adapt to. But he's such a great shooter. He's going to help floor spacing and all these things. And who knows how good he's going to be able to shoot because there's going to be so many guys in that starting lineup and in the lineup to end games where he can really benefit because there is going to be space. So Boyan is really – it's going to be really fascinating to see how he works into this mix and the role that he plays and how many shots is he going to get and how much of improvement does he make at age 30 and, you know, kind of how his game develops with this group and the chemistry he has. He's going to be a really fascinating player to watch because if he plays – at the level with the Jazz that he played with at the end of the year last year in Indiana, I mean, they could have potentially two or three guys that are going to score 20 or more points. That would be crazy. And that means this team's going to be really good offensively, which, look, I think they have to be top five to be a championship contender. I really believe that.
Might mean also that they could suffer a little bit defensively. Dennis Lindsay was asked about that today. He basically, you know, you're giving up length to get more skill for this group or for this team, and this was kind of his answer.
You know, I think 3 years in a row facing Golden State and Houston told us the truth that we just, for whatever reason, couldn't keep up with our skill level.
And this is going to be a more skilled team.
Yeah.
I know that seems like an obvious thing. All you know, we see it with our own eyes.
Well,
when we
to hear the GM say that, well, he's got a new role now. I shouldn't say GM, but to hear him say that. Means a lot because that means that the boss is recognizing this. The guy that makes the personnel decisions recognizes this, and they went into the last offseason determined to change that so that they can keep up with the best teams in the West to compete for a championship, to be savvy enough to recognize that we don't have enough, to have the humility to say the roster I've built it wasn't good enough, and we got to take another look, and we got to do this differently. That says a lot to me about what they're willing to do to win and that winning matters. It's sometimes hard for an executive to kind of pivot a little bit, which they're doing here. But it's a good pivot, and obviously they did a lot of great things this offseason on paper, and we'll see how it plays out.
Anything else that stuck out to you at Jazz Media Day? You talked about the feel, at least, you know, those first – basically it was Jazz management, Jazz coach – and then the first two guys, I did find it was interesting, and maybe it was just happenstance, but I did find it interesting that the first two guys they brought out were Mike Conley and Joe Ingles.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Donovan and Rudy. And I don't think they're – I just think they got the main guys out there first, but they wanted to get those guys out there first. And they seemed to set a tone for the rest of the day. Was there anything else that kind of caught your ear or eye while you were there?
So the thing that catches my – so it's one thing you see all these moves happen in the offseason – and you're excited about all of them. But then when the team gathers together to start training camp and you see how many good players they have. And I was able to see that today, where you start with Mike Conley and Joe Ingles, and then we're almost 2 hours later, and you're bringing in veteran players like Jeff Green and Ed Davis, and all these players have been talking for this period of time, and you see the long line of depth that they have all the way into their bench, and they're going to be really good. They have so much depth, and I think that's going to be key for this team. Now, do they have a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George? Maybe Donovan's approaching that level. Maybe in defensively, Rudy's on that level, obviously, as the defensive player of the year, back-to-back years. But what they may lack in a small way in star power, which you can argue they don't lack that, but if you want to argue that, they're going to make up for in depth, because a team like the Clippers and the Rockets, start listing off other Western Conference contenders. Maybe you throw the Lakers in there, the Blazers. Do any of those teams have the depth to match what the Jazz have? I say no. I really like their depth. I think that, you know, George Niang is the guy that can contribute, and he might be the 10th man on this team. That says a lot. Royce O'Neal, where do you put him? I mean, he could start, right?
Yeah.
Is Jeff Green and Ed Davis coming off the bench? If they are, that's phenomenal. Jeff Green was playing at a really high level last year, even at his age, and Ed Davis is just a beast on the boards. These are guys that you're not depending on being your top three players. They're guys you may be bringing off the bench, or you know, it just gives you so much versatility. And it's one thing to see it kind of develop on paper, but to go through it today and see all those guys come up to the podium, and you're realizing, all these names and all these guys that you know can play ball at this NBA level, and you see how many of them are there. That's really fascinating to me, and that's what stood out to me. It was you finally got to see these guys in Jazz uniforms, and you realize, wow, this team's going to be deep. This team's got talent. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch. A
couple of other tidbits that I wanted to pass along before we end. I liked it when they asked Mike Conley, what do you think about Coach? And he's like, wow, we're going to sit down for like a five-minute conversation an hour later. And he's like, he's really intense, but he's a great coach, and he has a lot of great ideas. So it's good to see that your leader on the floor and your leader off the floor seem to already be on the same page with one another. And then the other thing was, I did laugh. Jeff Green was asked, have you been asked to play the five? And he's like, no, I haven't. I've done it in the past, but I haven't been asked to play the five. Would you be really willing to play it? And he's sitting right next to Ed Davis. Yeah. And he's like, what are you seeing if he's going to take my job or something? So
I'm here.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm right here. It is sad that we're going to miss a guy like Derek Favors. I wish him nothing but the best down in New Orleans. But this is going to be a fun team. It's going to be fun to see how they perform on the court. It's going to be fun to see the new guys and how they mesh with the older guys. First game coming up this weekend, Adelaide 36ers.
Isn't that crazy? Saturday, a preseason game.
I think I'm going to be there. I think I'm actually going to go to see the Adelaide 36ers coming up this weekend. So, and then we actually get real preseason games next week.
It's crazy.
Yeah, really wild.
Let's do it.
All right. This is the end of the Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks for listening, subscribing, and thanks for participating. Let us know how we're doing. We'll have more guests and more analysis coming up later on the Jazz Notes podcast. And make sure you log on to kslsports.com. Find out more about our coverage that we have there. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.